My great joy to invite you to open your copy of God's perfect and precious word this morning to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to look at verses 10 through 31 together, and I'm going to read the last two verses, verses 30 and 31, as we begin today. I'll invite you to stand in reverence for the reading of the perfect words of our sovereign God. Proverbs 31, verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Lord, help us this morning to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Lord, we have sung the gospel. We have seen the gospel demonstrated with the sign that you have given. We pray because Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Lord, our hope, our mediator. And Lord, I pray that as we hear your word this morning, that we would hear the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I know what some of you ladies were thinking as I announced the scripture text this morning, Proverbs chapter 31. Some of you felt a sense of being deflated, a sense of kind of, oh no, here we go again. Proverbs 31 again, I'll see how I don't measure up, I'll see all my weaknesses. Happy Mother's Day. It's kind of like a lady one time who joined a church I was pastoring, and I was talking to her, and I said, yeah, we've got women's ministry, you might want to plug in there. And she looked at me with a deadpan face, and she said, I cannot take another Proverbs 31 study. Why? Here's what I think. I think that the reaction to that is because of the way Proverbs 31 is usually treated. It's usually treated like it's a job description to evaluate whether or not you're meeting the specifications of the job. But in the book of Proverbs, it's not functioning that way at all. And what we want to do here this morning is do what we've committed to do with our lives this year, and that is take every thought captive to obey Jesus Christ. Think with me about how the Proverbs work. It's a wisdom book. And in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified. There is a voice of wisdom. It is a voice calling out. But there is another competing voice in the book of Proverbs. It is the voice of folly, and it is also personified. It is calling out. It is compelling. And we chase these two voices all the way back to the garden. In the very beginning, God spoke the worlds into existence. God uniquely created his image bearers, and he spoke. He gave commands, admonitions, how to rule the world under his authority. But in the garden, another voice shows up, and it has a lisp. It's the serpent. And it says, has God really said? And they listen to the voice of the serpent. And the world plunges into sin, and the effects of sin affect the entire created order. But God responds to that moment with another word, another voice, that he's sending a seed born of woman who will crush the head of the serpent. He gives us wisdom in response to the reality of sin. That's the way it works in the Bible. These voices are personified because they are traced back to the person of God and the person of the evil one. That's the way the New Testament deals with them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul talks about wisdom. He talks about the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, which he says the wisdom of God is on display in the word of the cross, the seed born of woman who crushed the head of the serpent. That Christ crucified is the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, he says, Christ our wisdom. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, the Apostle Paul says, Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom. The most important, most fundamental thing about a Proverbs 31 woman or a Proverbs 31 mom is found in verse 30 at the very end of the Proverbs. The next to last verse, it says this, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Fears the Lord. Throughout the Proverbs, it says fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is a fear of faith, a fear of awe. The psalmist puts it like this in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, then who could stand? But there is forgiveness that you may be feared. The forgiveness is found in the one who is the consummation of wisdom, Jesus Christ. So, as the Proverbs 31 woman or the Proverbs 31 mom fears the Lord, it means that she's trusting in God, the God who promised a Messiah, the one who came as the living Word, who was the Messiah, and the promise of Messiah that he will accomplish his kingdom in an everlasting kingdom. Now, here's what I want to do. We're going to give an aerial jet tour through Proverbs 31. I'm just going to make some observations as we move through so you can see how it works. And then when you see how it works in the big picture, then we want to think about, okay, what does that mean for us? Look with me, beginning in Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious, the words highly valued, than jewels. Now, one thing to note here at the very beginning is the word here translated excellent, sometimes translated virtuous, is a word that means strong. In fact, it's most often used as a military word, the strength of a soldier. It means mighty, noble. And the military language shows up throughout Proverbs 31. It's pointing us to a reality that this is a wife, this is a mom, who being wise is engaging in the battle every day in her daily life. Every day she's either functioning out of wisdom or she's functioning out of folly. That's the battle that she faces. That's her daily life. That's the struggle that she's in. And I want you to notice this. Verse 11 and 12 talks about her relation to her husband. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of his life. She sees herself as his complement, and she gives him support. Now, don't make more out of this than what's being said here. A lot of this stuff is mundane. A word of encouragement. Oh, you forgot this? I'll help you get it. Oh, she speaks well of him. So that's her relation to her husband. Now notice as it moves through verse 13 through verse 19, and it talks about household affairs. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Now she, in other words, she either makes clothes or repairs clothes, she provides clothes, and she goes grocery shopping. Grocery shopping is a part of your daily battle in fearing the Lord and reverencing Him? Yeah. Look with me at verse 14. She's like the ships of a merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night. She's up early. And provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself, not a good translation. She girds her loins with strength. Girding loins sounds much tougher than she dresses herself. And it's talking about here her strength. It's like a soldier preparing for battle. and makes her arms strong. In other words, she's involved in hard work. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. So she's not only up early, she's often up late. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle, more reality of work. But think about what's being said here. In the language of the day, he's basically saying she is involved in this kind of stuff. Cooking, bargain shopping, gardening, stair climbing, baby changing, baby carrying, laundry, hard work. She's feeding, she's taking care of the sick, she's making breakfast, she's potty training, she's making preparations, she's working in ways to help provide for her family. Now notice verse 20. She opens her hands to the poor. So not only is she concerned just simply about her home, she wants to be a servant in the context of the community. We're going to see that she helps others, she helps her neighbors, she helps the needy. And don't make that something it's not. That looks like this. Oh, you need me to pick that up for you? I'll do that. Oh, you're sick? Let me make some food and bring it over to you. Oh, let me watch your kids. I know you're a single mom and I want to help out in that way. That's the kind of stuff here. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household. You don't get to take the winter off. For all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. In other words, she helps him. She respects him. She speaks well of him. His standing in the community is better because he has her. When he sits with the elders of the land, verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come, lives with a sense of pervading joy and laughter. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Now, one word about that. When you hear kindness, you tend to think you're just being nice. It's a particular word here. It's the word, Hebrew word hesed, which is the closest thing we've got to the way the New Testament uses the word grace. It's talking about the fact that she speaks of grace, that the gospel message permeates her home because she talks about God. The Bible is open. There are prayers. There are prayers for others. There's prayers for her family. Verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. That's the testimony of her family. We look at you and we see all that you do for us. We see your faithfulness. We bless you. We praise you. You surpass all to us in the culture of our home. Now, that's the jet tour. Let's think about it. This is not a performance list to earn God's favor. It's not. It's not the building of a spiritual resume that you can be proud of. Oh, you're a wife and a mother? Let me see your resume. Let me show you what I do. That's an act of rebellion. That's not fearing the Lord. That's not humility. That's pride. This is not a performance list to earn God's favor. Well, then what is it? That's what we want to think about together. The first thing I want you to see is this. It is wisdom, not wishing. Now, this is a book of wisdom. It talks about all kinds of very practical, mundane, daily, ordinary stuff. How do we look at the ordinary, the routine, the daily, with the eyes of wisdom? Well, I want you to notice this about this wife and mother. Notice that she is busy living the life that she has in the fear of the Lord, which means in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life that she has. You know what that involves? That involves cooking, cleaning, buying groceries, working, carrying laundry, baking, phone calls, checking on others, reminding her forgetful husband of things, reminding her kids of things, staying up with sick kids, potty training. Notice that that's what her life involves. That's what she needs wisdom for. It is not wise for her to wish she had someone else's life. That's really important. If you have Facebook and you look at other people's pages and you think that that is an accurate depiction of their lives and it depresses you because everybody else's lives are so wonderful, full of grand things, and you've got to do menial things, get off Facebook. It's lying to you. And by the way, I don't want you to put the videos up of when you're yelling at each other. But just know, there's more going on than what you see. One of the biggest struggles with moms is that, just to be honest with you, a lot of moms feel trapped. And every message in the world around them pounds in them that significance means some sort of public work, some sort of work that involves some sort of credentials. But one of the key messages here to the real Proverbs 31 woman is that live your life based on wisdom, not wishing. The wisdom means that in the providence of God, you have a life with particular responsibilities. Do them in the fear of the Lord, and that is making the greatest significance that you can make. There's nothing else you could be doing more important. If you abandon those responsibilities to become some public persona that was cheered by crowds, you'd be in rebellion against God. You see, you cannot function with significance being defined by the world to the glory of God. You know that Jesus didn't seem very significant? An itinerant teacher without a lot of money, no place to lay his head. You know, I heard that guy was born in an animal trough. I bet it stunk in there. Wisdom. God defines wisdom. This ordinary, mundane stuff. Moms, wives, you have to be you surrendered to Jesus with the things that are in front of you. If this list makes you wish you had somebody else's life, then you don't understand it. Oh, I mean, my kids are so bad, man. I could be that woman if I had that person's life. Or, oh, man, I hear this message, and I'm just a single mom, and if I was married, I could really live that life. Or maybe you're here today, and you want children desperately. But in the providence of God, that's not been the case yet. Or maybe you've mourned the death of a baby in miscarriage, or some other difficult circumstance. And you say, I cannot be that woman because God won't give me kids. You don't understand what he's saying. The whole premise of the list is that in the providence of God, you fear the Lord to the glory of God. That is how you make an impact in the world. You can't create a reality that's not there. All you can do is live in the one that you have. Nothing is stopping anyone from fearing the Lord in the real circumstances that you face. Not God. And that's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. So applying this is to say, the sovereign God of the universe has allowed certain things to unfold in my life. And if I sit around wishing I had a different life, I'm shaking my fist at him. Let me stop wishing. And let me believe his wisdom and start living on the basis of it. But I also want you to see in this text that it also calls us to purpose, not perfection. That beginning, an excellent wife, a strong, a mighty, a noble wife, that army, that military terminology, that terminology of a soldier celebrating a victory, that means that the mundane, the routine, the ordinary, the reason this is here is this is not the stuff you say, you want to be significant. This is not the list anybody would give you but God. But that's your battleground. That's your ministry place. That's your opportunity to serve. You fear the Lord, you're acknowledging that a sovereign God has purpose in all of it. This is not here to overwhelm women by calling you to perfection. That's an anti-gospel. If you think this list is here so one day you'll check off every box and say, I did it. That's not the gospel. That's bad news. That's what Satan preaches. There may be all kinds of ways in which you don't do a lot of the things here. Your life is unfolded a little bit differently, and it's not ideal. By the way, that's all of us who don't live in ideal circumstances. But what you have, there is purpose in, and that is your ministry. That is your place of service. This is not a job description for you to evaluate yourself, for if you think you're doing a good job, you're self-righteous and in rebellion against God. And if you think you're doing an awful job, so your life doesn't matter, then you're in rebellion against God and listening to the false gospel of the evil one. That's not why it's here. Let me let every woman off the hook today. Moms, moms-to-be, wives, you don't measure up to this. So stop thinking that that's your job. We already all know you don't. You don't measure up to it. You need Jesus. And His grace is all sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. This list is to teach you not to try to do everything on the list, but to teach you that in all this ordinary seeming, mundane seeming stuff, Christ has a purpose in it. And you making much of Him and living a life of significance has to do with you realizing that. Too often the problem with moms that moms have is thinking that the mundane things on this list keep them from growing spiritually. Man, I just wish I didn't have to do this, and I didn't have to do this, and I didn't have to run here. And it's as though these things have no real purpose. And the tendency is to think this. If I just had a time during the day where I could sit in my favorite chair for 2 hours without distractions and read the Bible, then I would grow spiritually. That's a lie. God has never promised any of us distraction-free spirituality. The truth is, the way you grow is applying the gospel to the real world, not the imaginary chair. Imagine this, a pastor. Pastor, and by the way, I heard one that almost said this one time, exactly. He said, you know, I love ministry. If it wasn't for all those people in the church. Without those people, you don't have a ministry. The same applies to you, mom. You see, he's looking at his ministry and saying, because it keeps him busy, his life doesn't have significance. He can't accomplish anything. That's not the way to think about it at all. Where is the promise of distraction-free spirituality? You know what life is? It's like the Proverbs. I used to read Proverbs and I thought, you know, if God would have just put all these things in Proverbs in nice categories, finances, wives, husbands, how you spend your time, it'd be so much better. And then it hit me one day. Who do you think you are? There might be some wisdom in God in the way He put together the wisdom books. Everything's interrelated. It's sort of chaotic like this. That's what life is. You cling to God and cling to the gospel in the midst of your life. That's where your purpose is. There is no distraction-free spirituality. Your life would be worse if you could create that world that you're dreaming about? Not better. One more thing. It's gospel, not glamour. Moms are on the front lines in the trenches of living out the gospel in the daily, the mundane, the routine, and the ordinary. You know another way to put that? The 95% of life. Right? Put all of your amazing mountaintop, mind-boggling experiences on a video. There aren't a lot, but there's a lot of the routine. So, do families need to learn how to live in the midst of the big moments? Or is it vitally important that families learn how to live and embrace the gospel and fear the Lord in the midst of the routine and the daily? How to have significance that's defined by God by embracing the word of the cross on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. You can make breakfast in Jesus' name, not just make breakfast. You can work in the context of your home, and you can work and do the things that you do outside your home in Jesus' name. And in fact, that's what's being commended here. Every thought captive to obey Jesus. That includes laundry. That includes taking care of the kids when they're sick. That includes all of the things that we went through this list about that seem so insignificant at times. That this is probably the only day where the children, you may go home and do something for the family, and the children may line up and say, "Thank you, Mom." But that doesn't happen most of the time, does it? So where do you get your significance? How do you remember that it matters? You know, Jesus seemed like an insignificant figure being swept away by a stronger Roman authority. But he wasn't. He's the one in whom God is at work in the world, summing the entire cosmos up. You can't define the significance. You applying the gospel throughout your life is what is significant. You notice, I noticed something about sports. You know, great, amazing, natural, greatest players rarely make the best coaches. You know why? It came easy to them. They're like, you know, why aren't you just doing this? What's wrong with these idiots? You know who makes really good choices, coaches? Those grunt players. They had to work for everything they got. They had to understand the game and try to maximize what they could do. They had to fit in somewhere in the team. That's fairly consistent. Why? Because most of team sports has to do not just simply with those that are the most talented, but how do you work together? How does it fit? How do you do the mundane? How do you understand that? Look with me at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Charm and beauty is superficial, it's deceptive. But fearing the Lord is rooted and grounded for all eternity. One is temporary. One is eternally worthy of praise. Well, I wonder, are you wasting your time wishing for what is vain while you neglect what is eternal and glorious and praiseworthy to the end of time and beyond? Oh, if I were just beautiful. Oh, if I were just gifted in this way. Oh, if I just had a personality like that. Tell the one with the lisp whispering that in your ear, he is a liar and Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. It's celebration. Hear me clearly this morning. The anti-Proverbs 31 mom is not the struggling mom. It's not the mom wondering how she's going to deal with these kids and how she's going to manage this, and she feels overwhelmed by time management and household management and all these. That's not the anti-Proverbs 31 mom. The anti-Proverbs 31 mom is the one who defines her significance by thinking that somehow, some way, she can keep the job description, or the one who defines significance based on the world standards and looks at the very stuff that God says is her battlefield, her ministry, her opportunity, and says, that stuff can't really matter. I wish I had that. If you don't think you struggle to live out this vision, then you don't understand it. And if you're trying to keep every jot and tittle, you're in rebellion. And if you think your life would be better without the daily, mundane routine, you're listening to a voice with a lisp. Satan would love you to live saying, if only, if only. If only is a way to spiritualize your disobedience in the presence by saying that you would obey in a fantasy world. If only. No, not if only. My life. Wisdom of God. My life matters if I fear the Lord. If I take my thoughts captive. And you know what? Everything I do has got purpose. Maybe trying to finish school right now. Maybe a stay-at-home mom. Maybe a single mom trying to make it. Maybe a family that's had several heartbreaking experiences where you had a child, but something tragic happened. In light of it all, your life has purpose. That's the message of the wisdom of God. The gospel is good news for you. In your failures, in your struggles, in your pain, in your heartache. And the gospel can redeem those situations for the glory of God. I would remind you that the seeming worst situation in the history of the world is a man who had never sinned, who came out of heaven hanging on a cross, being marked out as cursed by God. And the disciples felt exactly like, nothing good can come out of that. But now we still gather and say, He is risen. I want to tell you about the best theologian I know. The theologian is multivocational. Bivocational would be an insult. Multivocational. An expert in meal services, interior decorating, supervision, custodial work, mechanical work, on the clock 24 hours a day. Expert in nursing conflict resolution. She's an HR genius, interpersonal relations, interpersonal growth, money management, continuing education, career planning, counseling, and she answers theological questions all day while working on all levels of difficulty and allows follow-up questions endlessly. Why? 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 And to me, she surpasses them all. See, the best theologian I know is Judy. Because she has to apply her theology in ways I cannot imagine. What does the spill have to do with the glory of God? She's got to figure that out. You know, she's always the first one to get, where do babies come from? She gives an answer and then says, now take that one to your dad. You may know one too. In fact, you are one. The question is, are you a faithful one or not? And you're not a faithful one because you can point to a resume and say, look at me. That's unfaithful. You're a faithful one if you believe that in the wisdom of God, your life, even your mundane life, has eternal purpose. And the gospel changes everything, including being a wife and mother. The real Proverbs 31, wife and mom. Let's pray.